Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the White House. Never get tired of saying that, right? I am pleased to be here with all of you as we recognize this year's recipients of the National Design Awards. As the great American designer Milton Glaser has said, good design is good citizenship. And today we will celebrate both. Designers who have reached the tops of their fields, not just by chasing glory for themselves, but instead by making life glorious for the rest of us. These men and women have breathed new life into our homes and our workplaces, the clothes we wear, the products we use every day, and in even the most basic ways we process information. A trip to the park is just a bit more refreshing, a book or a chart more readable, a commute to work more palatable, unless you were stuck on the train today. There are a few who didn't make it. But while we ooh and ah at their handiwork, we may take for granted all the blood, sweat, and tears that went into the process of creation. We will never see all of those late nights spent tinkering and perfecting. We'll never experience the long hours hunched over a drafting board or staring blankly at a computer screen. So honorees, today is about honoring not just your designs, but also the years of hard work that brought you here today. And that's something that I want to emphasize for all of the young people who are here with us today. I want you young folks, that as you look around the room, understand that you see some of the sharpest minds alive, some of the most accomplished designers in the world. But understand that none of these people came here ready-made, all right? They're here today because they hatched an idea or they followed a dream. And more importantly, they worked every day. They worked hard every day to get here. So to the young people here, I want you to realize that you can share a meal with some of our nation's greatest talent. You can walk on the same floors as presidents and as heads of state. And if you work hard enough, if you believe in yourself, you can earn an award just like this in a few decades, or I know a few of you, maybe a few years. Never know, time marches on. They may be pushing you out sooner than you think. I know a few of them already told me about their plans. And I want you all to know that I really do mean this. This is what I fundamentally believe about all of you young people. You can be right here. That's why it is important for us to have you here right now, so that you know that this place belongs to you too. One of my highest priorities as First Lady is to make sure that the doors of this house, the White House, are open not only to the best and brightest of today, but to our next generation as well. And I know that many of our guests here today share that mission of investing in our young people. And that's why Cooper Hewitt and the Smithsonian hosted a wonderful teen design fair earlier today, opening doors for 400 DC public high school students to learn about career paths and to show off their work. And get some advice from some of today's honorees and finalists. I want to thank you all of the honorees, the finalists, everyone who took the time to spend with these young people. I want you all to know that they're doing this because they believe in you too. There are a lot of people out there who think you guys can do whatever you want to, and they're willing to take the time on one of the days that we're here to honor them, to give something back to you all. So part of your challenge is that when you get here, you have to do the same thing for somebody else, all right? That's my only deal. It's why many of our honorees and finalists not only have given back today, but they're doing it every day in the communities where they come from. And it's why the man that I am about to introduce is working so hard with his team at the Smithsonian to make sure that all Americans, especially our young people, have access to all the museums and artifacts and scientific specimens and archives, whether that's in person or whether it's by smartphone. That's how you guys do things, right? On phones nowadays. You're keeping up with that. We're going to be able to work with you. So the Smithsonian is revitalizing their Office of Education. They're starting educational programs at schools for math and science and for history and arts. They're on Facebook. The Smithsonian is Twittering. Whoa. They're even on YouTube. They are trying to find you all. They're doing a great job, and they're doing it because, as the man I'm about to introduce has said, and this is his quote, "Instead of a set of collections that hardly anybody sees and a group of curators who are behind the walls, we can become a huge educational resource for the nation that we haven't been before." And it is that type of vision that helps a day like today become reality. And that's the same type of leadership that helps a marvelous institution like the Smithsonian adapt to the new millennium. And that is why I am so pleased to introduce the secretary of the Smithsonian Institution and a dear friend who has been doing wonderful things with this White House, Dr. Wayne Clough. Let's give him a hand.
Thank you. Well, Bill, you've got a tough act to follow with Mrs. Obama. Well, again, Mrs. Obama, thank you for serving as you have done last year, as you did last year, as our honorary patron of this wonderful event and gracious host for this gathering today. We also want to thank you up front for the work you did in supporting our initiatives in Haiti. We couldn't have done it without your support and the President's Council for Arts and Humanities. And I just heard today that we've now preserved over 30,000 works of art and trained over 100 Haitians in preserving that as we take ourselves out of the picture. So we thank you for that support. Thank you. As you know from her words, she is a loyal and influential advocate for the Design Innovation and the National Design Awards. Our honorees today, I think, will always remember this White House ceremony. Cooper Hewitt, our National Design Museum's mission is to explore the impact of design on daily life, and it is everywhere. And we do this through our collections, exhibitions, educational, and online programs. The National Design Awards demonstrate and celebrate how our creative design affects our quality of life, improves our quality of life, our economy, and our environment. And this year we mark the 12th anniversary of the awards program, a milestone which will be celebrated on October 20th at a gala in New York City. And I can promise you, if you haven't been, that is a gala not to be missed. In conjunction with the awards, Cooper Hewitt encourages the public to participate through the online People's Design Award. Now, in its sixth year, the winner will be announced at this year's gala. The 2010 winner was a Braille alphabet bracelet designed by Leslie Ligon at the First Sight Braille Jewelry. And she is with us today. Leslie, where are you? I saw you earlier. There we go. This morning, Cooper Hewitt held its second DC-based Teen Design Fair. Our award winners, finalists, and jurors inspired more than 400 young people here about careers in design, some of whom are with us today. Maybe I could ask them to stand and be recognized, our folks who are with us from the earlier design competition. There you go. We can all learn about philanthropy from an organization known as Target. Laisha Ward is with us today. Laisha, we thank you. Extremely grateful for what Target done to support the design fair today with our teens and the numerous elements of the National Design Week possible for the sixth week in, year in a row. Since 1946, Target has generally given 5% of its income to local communities and national causes, equaling more than $3 million a week. In addition, as part of its new educational initiative, Target is on track to give $1 billion nationally by the end of the year 2015. We thank you. We also want to thank Bloomberg for supporting the National Design Awards and Fast Company for their media sponsorship of the National Design Week and the National Design Awards. So today, we celebrate the achievements of an exceptional group of designers in a variety of fields. The Smithsonian is fortunate to have an exceptional director at Cooper Hewitt, a creative innovator in his own right, Bill Moggridge. He will announce the 2011 finalists and winners in each category. Bill?
Thank you, Wayne. I'm going to read out all of the awards. Please, if you don't mind, holding your applause until I've finished, and then we'll give them a really big one. So first, let's start with the Lifetime Achievement Award, which is given to a distinguished individual who's made lasting contributions to design practice. This year, the winner is Matthew Carter. Over the last 50 years, Matthew has designed some of the most recognizable typefaces used today, including Bell Centennial, which reduced the paper use in telephone books, and screen fonts, Verdana, Tahoma, and Georgia for Microsoft. And today he's focusing on developing highly legible fonts for small devices, little PDAs and smartphones and things, which is so essential for us in our world of today. Thank you, Matthew. Well, I tried stopping the applause without success, but never mind. So, moving on. The National Design Award for Corporate, The Design Mind Award is the next one, recognizing individuals who have changed design thinking or practice through their writing, research, and scholarship. Stephen Heller is our winner. Now, Stephen is the author and editor of more than 130 books. How could you do that? Graphic design, satiric art, and popular culture being his subjects. He was art director for 33 years at the New York Times, where he continues to contribute as a columnist for the Book Review. He's also co-founded several graduate programs at SVA, the School of Visual Arts. The National Design Award for Corporate Achievement recognizes a company that places design at the center of its business strategy. The 2011 finalists in this category are Design That Matters and OXO. The award goes to Knoll. Hans and Florence Knoll founded their company in 1938 on the conviction that good design enriches our lives. That conviction thrives today at Knoll through their pioneering analysis of work patterns, reimagining furniture for the ever-changing workplace, and setting standards for sustainable design. Architects transform our homes, cities, and public places. This year's finalists are Dan Rockhill and Weiss Manfredi. Architecture Research Office is the winner. Founded in 1993, ARO is led by Stephen Cassell, Adam Yurinsky, and Kim Yeo. Utilizing research and analysis to drive design, ARO works with a diverse array of clients to design architecture that unites the conceptual and the pragmatic with a strong, coherent vision. Designers continually refine and reinvent the way we exchange ideas and information. The finalists for communication design are Herfler and Freer, and Jones and Projects. Rick Valicenti is this year's winner. Now, Rick's graphics, they bristle with innovation and imagination and curiosity and craft. He's been a leading presence in design as a practitioner, an educator, and a mentor. And in 1988, he founded Thirst, a Chicago-based design collaborative devoted to art, function, and authentic human presence. The Fashion Design Award celebrates one of the most personal and public forms of design expression, clothes. The finalists are Prabal Gurung and Jason Wu, names that the First Lady might know. The award goes to Jay Mendel. Under the creative direction of Gilles Mendel since 1981, the fifth generation of luxury brand was established on the principles of high quality, timeless style, and craftsmanship. Using only the finest materials, Mandel is a true innovator who is renowned for manipulating fabrics in unexpected ways. The Interaction Design Award is given for digital technology, and the finalists are Local Projects and Chris Milk. The winner is Ben Fry. Ben pursues a long-held fascination with visualizing data and creating tools for interaction design, most notably processing, co-developed with Casey Rees. Ben has been developing software, printed works, installations, and books that depict and explain topics from the human genome to the evolution of text documents. The finalists for the award for interior design are Adeline Darling Design and Clive Wilkinson Architects. Shelton Mandel and Associates wins. Established in 78, the firm is a leader in architectural, interior, and product solutions. Peter Shelton and Lee Mandel have applied their passion for building unified environments to the firm's portfolio of projects, which includes the design of Polo Ralph Lauren headquarters. The landscape architecture category recognizes excellence in urban planning and the design of parks and gardens. Our finalists are Tom Leader and Margie Ruddick. Guthrie Nickel is our winner. Founded by partners Catherine Gustafson, Jennifer Guthrie, and Shannon Nickel, the firm designs high-use landscapes in complex urban contexts throughout the Americas and Asia. One of their projects includes the Smithsonian's Cogood Courtyard here in DC, which many of us have been this morning as you hosted all of the teens for the fair. Product designers create the things that we encounter in our everyday lives. The finalists are Heath Ceramics and RKS. Continuum gets the award. Founded by Gianfranco Zakai in 1983, Continuum is a global design and innovation consultancy that strives to improve people's everyday lives. The studio has designed products including the Reebok Pump athletic shoe and Procter & Gamble's Swiffer floor cleaners. Now, please join me in congratulating all of this year's winners and finalists. You have truly enhanced our lives, and many thanks again to First Lady Michelle Obama. This is